So, here we are. You know, so let me start it off this way. People will say that a part of being human is wanting to see change immediately. We're just impatient people sometimes, aren't we? We want to see the effects of things right now. Whether we're doing it, whether Adonai is doing it, we want to see it right now. And you know, I don't actually believe that's part of being human. I think it's part of being flesh, but not necessarily human. You see, I believe being human is of Adonai. Being flesh is being of the world. He's created us as humans, and He's given us the ability to change and rein in our flesh. So although we can't always control the things that are happening and when they're going to happen, we can control how we wait for them to happen. These include the things that Adonai has promised in our lives. We know from Scripture that Adonai promises that when He makes promises, they will occur because He is Adonai. He is not able to say that He'll do something and then not deliver on it unless we get in the way. We're told this both in the Tanakh and the Brit Hadashah, both the Old and the New Covenants. In Numbers 23:19, it says this: God is not a man who lies, or a son of man who changes his mind. Does He speak and not do it, or promise and not fulfill it? Now we know the answer to both of these questions. The answer to both of these questions is no. It's undoubtedly no. He says something, it will occur. We see this, that Adonai's infallible nature is stated again in Hebrews 6. In 6:18 of Hebrews, it says this: So by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope set before us. It says it's impossible for God to lie. Impossible. Why is it impossible that God can't lie? Because whatever He says is. If He says the sky is green, by His creative power of His word, the sky is green. It's just going to be. Whatever He says, it is. So it's impossible for Him to speak something and not have it be. His words create and they don't change. So therefore, everything He speaks has to be. He cannot lie in that way. But when we think of the promises of Adonai, we so want them to be fulfilled now. Right? That's just kind of who we are. We know Adonai's timing is perfect. He's never early. He's never late. But we still want it now. Peter wants us to remember this, that He always has the perfect timing when He says this in 2 Peter 3, starting in verse 8. But don't forget this one thing, loved ones, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like one day. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some would consider slowness. Rather, He's being patient towards you, not wanting anyone to perish, but for all to come to repentance. As is the case in most of the New Covenant, this thought was not just something that came to Peter. He didn't think of it all by himself in reality. This actually, I believe, was from Peter studying the Tanakh. It actually is a reference to Habakkuk. Habakkuk 2, I don't know, Habakkuk. Sounds funny when I say it, but Habakkuk 2, starting in verse 2, says this. Then Adonai answered me and said, write down the vision, make it plain on the tablets, so that the reader may run with it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. It hastens to the end and will not fail. If it should be slow in coming, wait for it, for it surely come, it will not delay. Adonai gave a vision and then says that it's for an appointed time. And that appointed time is a time of salvation, otherwise known for, in that case, as the end of times. He said it will happen. But then he says, if you see it delay, it's still going to happen. If it's slow, it's still going to happen. He says, even if it's delayed, even if it's slow, it will not be delayed. That's strange. Even if it's delayed, it's not delayed. That took me a moment. What does it mean? What it means, it only seems delayed to you. It only seems delayed to me. His timing is perfect. He knows just when it's supposed to happen. That time that it takes for things to happen, that's not so he has time to do it. That's not because he needs the time to prepare things. That's so that we can be prepared. Time for us to take the steps that are necessary for things to happen. And we're not just talking about footsteps walking along. Life stages. There are certain stages in life we have to go through before the time is just right, before that timing of Adonai is perfect in order to get things done. This is why we're reminded in Proverbs 20:24, a man's steps are directed by Adonai. How then can anyone understand his own way? There are stages in our life, and we have to go through them in the proper order, at the proper time. Going from one stage to another, taking major steps, is maturity. It is the victory in our life. This is why Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes, everything sounds funny to me today, Ecclesiastes, the passage that was turned into a song back in the 60s. And maybe we can't quote the whole song or all the scripture, but we know about how it goes, right? In chapter 3, 1, it says this, everything there is a season and a time for every activity under heaven. A time to give birth, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to uproot what is planted. It starts with birth, ends in death. It includes the starting of things, having it planted, and then having it torn up or uprooted. Each major milestone in our life has a perfect time that only Adonai knows. When we think that there are so many things that have to happen in our lives and we want them to happen now, we don't want to wait. How can we do this if we don't get this done? Let's get it done now. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. But we have to wait. We have to be patient. But there are times that, but there are still things that we need to do while we're waiting. Waiting doesn't mean doing nothing at all. It doesn't mean just stopping and turning our brains off. It doesn't mean just, let's just go in a coma until the right thing happens and then all of a sudden we're there. During these waiting times, there are still things that need to be done in Adonai so that when the time is right, when it comes along, we're ready. Because if we're not ready, the time really just won't come along. Just as we're told in Habakkuk, there's an appointed time And part of what makes it an appointed time is us being ready for our part in the plan. Therefore, I want to say to you that waiting is not wasting time. If we are preparing ourselves, waiting is not wasting time. So I have a list of five things that should be done or that we should do while we're waiting. And I can tell you none of those five things is just do nothing. There are five things. Even though there are times in Scripture it seems to say, just wait on the Lord and let Him do the battle. The battle is the Lord's, right? We read this. But there are still things that need to be done while we're waiting on the Lord. Five things. So let's see what they are. The first is to listen. Listen to what Adonai says. This entails more than having an open ear so that the sound comes into our ear, into our head, and rattles around a little bit. But it takes focus on what Adonai is telling us. This means that we must focus on what he's saying so that we're not distracted by the things and the sounds of the world. It's actively being quiet so that we can hear what he's saying. That means you're not talking to him, but waiting for him to talk to you. You know, if we take the words to listen and we jumble them up, they actually can spell the word silent. As we're listening, we need to be silent before him. Very few of us can listen while we're talking. It seems like when our mouth is open, our ears are closed. For most of us, we're talking and the sound of our own voice is so loud that we can't hear anything else, including Adonai. Spiritually speaking, it's the same thing. Prayer is more than just speaking to Adonai, but it's speaking with Adonai. That includes a time of speaking, yes, but it's also a time of listening. No one wants to be part of a one-sided conversation where they're just not listening to anything you have to say. All they want to do is talk to you. Adonai is the same way. He wants to talk to you. He wants you to talk to him, but then he's going to have something to say back. He wants you to hear what he has to say. There's more than a few times in Scripture there where the first instruction is listen. Deuteronomy 27, 9 through 10. Then Moses and the Levitical Kohanim, the priests, spoke to all Israel, saying, be silent and listen, O Israel. This day you have become a people for Adonai your God. Therefore, listen to the voice of Adonai your God and do his mitzvot and statutes that I am commanding you this day. When Moses spoke the words of Adonai to Israel, the first thing he said, the first thing he told them was, be silent and listen. True today, too. There is a time to pray to Adonai, and then there's a time to stop praying and listen to him. That's still part of praying, though. Stop just talking so that you can hear him. Hearing him and speaking to him are two totally different things, right? They happen almost simultaneously. When you're having a conversation, it's back and forth. But you do stop talking so that the other person can talk. And what are you supposed to do during that time? You're supposed to listen to what the other person's saying, not think about the next thing you're going to say. That's effective communication. And at the right time, at the appointed time for each of us, we will hear the right words from Adonai. Isaiah 30, starting in 19, says this, for the people of Zion who are dwelling in Jerusalem will weep no more. He will surely be gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears you, he will answer. Though Adonai gives you the bread of adversity and the water of oppression, your teachers will no longer be hidden, but your eyes will see your teachers. Your ears will hear the word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left. Even though we may have to go through some things to get to that point where we're going to listen to him, once we're there, he will speak to us. Sometimes it really can be a voice that you hear. Sometimes it's just a movement of spirit within your heart. Movement of the spirit, whatever you want to call it, something that prompts you whether to go to the left or to the right. But if you're not quiet, if you're not listening, a lot of times, most of the time, almost all of the time, you're going to miss it. He speaks to us in different ways, though, as it says in Hebrews. Hebrews 1, he starts off, Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews, starts it off, 1:1. At many times and in many ways, God spoke long ago to the fathers through the prophets. In these last days, he had spoken to us through a son, whom he appointed heir to all things through whom he created the universe. The writer of Hebrews says, the prophets hear in many ways. They heard in many ways. It could have been through visions. It could have been through dreams. Direct revelation, prompting of the Spirit, whatever it may be. Then it says, today he speaks through his son Yeshua, which we can hear from through the Ruach HaKodesh. And through his words in Scripture. And yes, it's even still through the Spirit. But we have to be open to listening. Now, listening leads to the next step, which is finding out who, listening leads to finding out who he is and what he is and what it's like to be him and what it's like to follow after him. How to react in situations so that we can be like him. By listening and becoming more like him, it gives us access to power and authority of the Ruach HaKodesh. Just like Yeshua did have access to the power of the Ruach HaKodesh, so are we too. We're to have that same access. I got to admit, I don't think I'll ever have the same access he had. I don't think I'll ever have the same power he had. But it doesn't mean that we don't have any. And the closer we get to our walk with Adonai, the closer we're going to have to that access of the power of the Ruach HaKodesh to accomplish things here on earth. It's listening to him. It's learning from him. It's storing up what he has for us, his word. It's worshiping him. And worshiping him in the way he wants to be worshiped. You know, many people think worshiping Adonai is just song. It's maybe dance. It's raising our hands. But it's so much more. Worship has to do with more than just singing. Whether you're singing about him or singing to him, that's good. But there's so much more to worship. It's the way we act as a form of worship. It's trusting him. That's a form of worship. It's helping others. That's a form of worship. All that we do should be done as a form of worship to him. Even as we learn to be more like him, We'll never be the same, but we strive to be as much as to like him as possible. That's why we store up his wisdom. That's why we store up his words in our hearts and in our minds, so that we can be like him. Look what it says in Proverbs 2. My son, if you accept my words and treasure my mitzvot within you, making your ear attentive to wisdom, inclining your heart to discernment, yes, if you call out for insight, lifting up your voice for discernment, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasure, then you will know the fear of Adonai and discover the knowledge of God. Storing up wisdom and discernment is the knowledge of God. That's how we got to get to the knowledge of who Adonai is. And that's really why we're all here, I hope, today. At least I hope so. So that we're here not as an obligation to meet once a week, but a desire to gain insight into who he is, into what his ways are, to learn of him and his ways. Moses impressed the Israelites that this is what they were to be about, even as they were in the wilderness. These were the instructions that Moses was trying to pass on to them, even as they seemed to be what? Waiting in the desert. They were waiting to get into the promised land, but they were still not just standing around. They were learning of him. They were gaining insight. They were gaining wisdom and discernment. They were learning from him. Look at the instructions which we would think of as the top of the instructions that Moses found, which Moses gave, as we find it in Leviticus. For there are two scriptures. I want to read Leviticus 19:1, and that says, Adonai spoke to Moses, saying, speak to all the congregation of Bnei Israel and tell them, you shall be Keshurim, for I, Adonai, your God, am holy. And the word Keshurim and holy are the same word in Hebrew, Kadosh. Leviticus 20:7, starting there, 20, verse 7. So consecrate yourself and be holy, for I am Adonai your God. You are to keep my statutes and do them, for I am Adonai who sanctifies you. Now we know that the greatest commandment is to love your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and the second is to love your neighbor. But how do you do that? By being holy as he is holy. How do you be holy? By learning his words and treasuring his mitzvot in your heart and in your mind. His instructions, getting them in you. That's a step of waiting. That's a step of becoming holy unto him. Knowing his words and his instructions must be accomplished if you are to successfully wait on Adonai. That leads us to the next step, change. Taking what you've learned or stored up, that which is now in your head as knowledge, and moving it to your heart so that your life can be transformed. It means to start to obey or do what you've learned. What's the use of learning something if you don't put it into action? Yeshua taught this to the people when they seemed to just want to acknowledge who he was. Luke 11:27. Then as Yeshua was saying these things, a certain woman in the crowd, raising her voice, said to him, blessed is the womb who carries you and the breast that nursed you. But he, Yeshua, said, rather, blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Yeshua wanted them to be sure that, hey, it's not enough to know who I am. Hey, it's not enough to think that you're just glorifying me. Wasn't enough to, and especially wasn't right to think, glorify the one who's involved and intimately in his life. You know, his mom who brought him to life, who fed him from her breast. That's not enough. Do obey, he tells them. He wanted to redirect their thoughts, changing their lives by changing their actions. And this wasn't a new thought or teaching by Yeshua, but it's one echoed from Proverbs 8. 8:32 of Proverbs says, "So now, children, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways." We are encouraged and told to keep his ways. So how do we do that? Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, gives us the instructions in his letter to the Ephesians, Ephesians 5. "Therefore, be imitators of God as dearly loved children, and walk in love just as Messiah also loved us and gave himself up for us as an offering and sacrifice to God for a fragrant aroma." They say the greatest form of flattery is imitation. And in this case, imitating him is flattery and worship. This just again supports the fact that the Torah is a universal truth. Not just that we keep it. So does Adonai. So does Yeshua. They can't break Torah either. Adonai will not break Torah. So when we imitate them, what are we doing? We're following Torah, just as they did. By following them, we are submitting ourselves so that we are actually giving up who and what we are to become more like them. Being more like them takes us to the next step, which is practice. You know the old joke, how do you get to Carnegie Hall? Practice, practice, practice. Well, I want to paraphrase that. How do you get to heaven? Practice, practice, practice. Even as I said last week, the works that you do alone will not gain you salvation. But combined with faith, they do. They will. It's through this practice of doing the things of Adonai that you also mature during your life. Maturing means becoming more like what you want. And if you're maturing in Adonai, what you want is to become more like Adonai. It means taking on greater things of the kingdom. Hebrews 5:14. "But solid food is for the mature, who through practice have their senses trained to discern both good and evil." So to gain maturity, we need to practice what we've learned. By repeating our good actions, they become a habit to us. They become easier, not just in the physical, but in our spiritual being as well, and our wanting to do them. That's why once we gain a level of maturity, we need to continue to practice. We need to continue to do those same things that got us to that point of maturity. It is then we will be able to proceed on to what Adonai really wants. Then we're really almost right up to that anointed time, that appointed time that he has for us, the next stage in our life. And the final step, the fifth step, is patience, waiting for him. It's almost back where we started, wait on Adonai. But you don't wait just doing nothing. It is being patient or waiting and not just growing tired of waiting. Don't get tired of waiting. Just because we're not seeing what we want to see when we want to see it doesn't mean we stop waiting. Because we know he is faithful. So wait for him. This is what Shaul says to us when he wrote to the Galatians, Galatians 6, 9. So let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have an opportunity, let us do good towards all, especially to those belonging to the household of faith. Through patience, we are not only not giving up, but we continue with practicing the good. Whenever that opportunity arises, whenever it presents itself, don't lose heart. Don't grow tired of waiting and doing good at every opportunity that presents itself. Don't give up. As the writer of Hebrews says, persevere. Hebrews 10:36. For you need perseverance so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. It is through the perseverance that we will be lifted up just at the right time. The time that Adonai knows is right for us. Lifted up to that next stage as we walk with Him. And eventually, if we keep walking with Him, the next stage and the next stage, that next stage is eventually going to be being in His presence before His throne for all eternity. First Peter 5:6 says this, therefore humble yourself under the mighty hand of God so that He may lift you up at the appropriate time. Humble ourselves. Place yourself under Adonai. Don't place yourself over Him. Don't place yourself next to Him. Don't try to take His place in trying to figure out what the right time is. Don't try to be in control even. Don't try to rush Him. Humble yourself. Have patience. Wait. He will lift you up at the appropriate time. That anointed time. Then the next stage comes. And you know what happens at the next stage a lot of times? You have to wait and start all over. You have to learn new things. You have to stop and listen. You have to pray. It's all starting all over again. You have to listen. You have to learn. You have to change. You have to practice. And you have to have patience for the next stage. This is life. But this is the good life. This is the life we want to proceed, to go from stage to stage with Adonai. Because someday, that final stage will come in your life. Someday, your stages in life here on earth will end. And then, there are only two things left. Only two stages to be on. You're either before His throne, worshiping Him forever, praising His name in the goodness that is Adonai, or you're removed from His presence to a stage that is nothing but misery and pain forever and ever. This is why we need to prepare ourselves today. This is why we need to accept who Adonai is. This is why we need to accept who Yeshua is. This is why we need to accept what Yeshua has done for us. What did He do? He fulfilled Torah. Leviticus says life is in the blood. Messiah Yeshua gave Himself, shed His blood, so that we may have life eternal before Him. That's our final stage, if we run with them, if we don't quit the race and continue our rate of running with him. But if we stop, there's still going to be a final stage. You don't just stop where you are. That final stage, though, is not being before him, not being in his presence, not having his comfort for all eternity, not being shown his love for all eternity. That's not cruel. That's righteous. That's righteousness. It's righteousness because he treats everybody the same, and it's righteous because he's told you beforehand. That's his righteousness. So if you've not made the decision yet to accept Messiah Yeshua as your Savior, as the atonement of your life, accept his blood to cleanse us from our sin, I encourage you today, make that decision. And then come up to me or call me or shoot me an email if you're at home. Or find someone who you know is a believer, a strong believer in what's right, and pray with them to accept who Messiah is. Because after all the stages you go through life, everyone has only two stages to go, one with him and one without him. I'll guarantee you, you don't want to be on the stage without him. Amen. Father, we thank you for your grace and mercy. We thank you that you've told us the five things to do as we're waiting on you. Can we put up that slide? We thank you that you've told us to listen, that you've given us your words to listen to you. We thank you that you've given us ears to hear. And Father, you've given us minds to learn and to absorb your words, your discernment to become more like you. And you've given us the ability to change. Yes, to change our heart and even to control our flesh. For those times that our flesh is addicted to things that we're not supposed to be addicted to, you give us abilities above what we could do on our own, giving us opportunities to practice what we've learned, to help others. And then you help us by the Ruach HaKodesh even to give us patience until the appointed time, that anointed appointed time when the next stage comes, right up until that final stage. Ruach HaKodesh, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your promise. We thank you for your love and your mercies. We just ask that you would help us in those times that we struggle to wait before you so that we may be right with you. We ask that in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen.